God, we love you and thank you for this wonderful day. We pray today that you will teach us those things you want us to know and show us those things you want us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. There was a, excuse me. Sorry, I'm a bit under the weather, and so I apologize, but that's going to happen from time to time over the next few minutes. Because as long as I don't laugh or speak, I don't cough. So let's see how we do. There were two young fish swimming in the water. And as they're just swimming along, there's an older fish coming from the other direction. And as he swims close to them, he looks at the two young fish and says, "Hey boys, how you doing? How's the water today?" So they kept on swimming, and the young fish keep going down. And after a few minutes, one of the young fish looks to the other one and says, "What's water?" That's from David Foster Wallace, an essay called "This Is Water." But the parable's great because it brings to our attention that sometimes the things that are around us, the things that are closest to us, are the hardest to see and the hardest to talk about, right? And so today, I want to talk about something that's hard for us to sometimes see and talk about because it is everywhere around us. Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." We talked about this passage last week and how it affects an individual. And we talked about the fact that Jesus never, ever said to anyone, "Worship me." He never said, "Write songs about me." He never said, "Build buildings in my name." But what Jesus said was, "Follow me." And what he said to his disciples when they did follow him was he taught three main things. He taught, love God, love others, and make disciples. And we talked about how that affects us as an individual, but guess what? We're not just individuals. We're a community of faith that we call a church. So what does it mean for a church to follow Jesus? It seems obvious. Well, everybody knows, would you just do what Jesus said? Well, okay. That's true, but how do we go about doing that? We just believe the right things. Well, yes and no, you can, that's part of it, but it's not all of it. It's not just about the what or the why, it's about the how. And so how do we do church? How do we follow Jesus as a community of believers? What does that look like? How do we define it by everybody believing exactly the same thing? Everybody thinking exactly the same thing? Everybody talking in exactly the same way, using the same jargon, the good churchy language? Is that the way we define following Jesus as a church? It's kind of hard to think about because for many of us, church has been a part of our lives for as long as we can remember. It's just what we do. But I think it's time that we look at it and say, why? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? How do we do this differently? What can we do better? How do we become the church for a new day? How do we follow Jesus tomorrow that's going to be different than today? Kyle Eidelman wrote a book called Not a Fan. And we've been studying it in our men's fellowship group. And what he's talking about is the difference between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower of Jesus. He talks about how you can tell. And he gives an illustration that I really love. It's the spiritual ruler, not like king, but like yardstick, right? The spiritual ruler. And I think most of us have these things in our minds. But whenever you talk to somebody about, and you ask them point blank, are you a follower of Jesus? You're probably going to get a recitation of the things like, well, I go to church every Sunday. I've been doing a Bible study now for, I don't know, 10 years. I tithe regularly, and I sing in the choir. And you'll get this recitation of things where we are comparing ourselves to some sort of yardstick that doesn't exist. But that's what we tend to do as human beings. It's kind of just human nature that we do that. And so I think it's good for us, not only as individuals, but as a community of faith, to think about how we follow Jesus. Because we can easily become fans, doing things that we've always done, saying things we've always said, none of which is bad. It's all good. But maybe there's new ways, exciting ways, that we can follow Jesus in a new day. So I want us to take a little trip through history and think about the concept of church. Think about the very first time that individuals who knew Jesus came together. So we would have to say that's the first time we could call it a community of faith, a church. Well, it happened right after Jesus was crucified, right after the resurrection. What did they do? They all got together and hid because they were scared. And they needed the community of each other because they were frightened. And Scripture says they did something. They prayed. They hid and they prayed. That's really the first church following Jesus. Well, maybe that was exactly what they needed to do at that time. They didn't make a rule that said, from now on, if we're going to be the church, we have to hide and pray. They didn't do that. Instead, as things changed, let's move forward to Pentecost. At Pentecost, they went out in the open. They weren't afraid anymore. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they were strengthened and encouraged to share their faith in Jesus with all around them. And thousands more came to know Jesus and become part of the community. So then what they did was they said, how's this going to work out? Well, best thing we can do is we're going to go to the temple every day. This is Acts chapter 2. We're going to go to the temple every day and we're going to keep learning. And we're going to sell everything we own and bring all of our stuff in common so that everybody can live together in peaceful harmony. Now, that was a great thing they did on that day and for that time. But they didn't make a rule that said from now on, we're not going to hide, but we're going to make sure that from now on, everybody in the church, the first thing you have to do is sell all of your goods and put all the money in the pot. But that worked for them. And that's the way God's Spirit was moving in the church that day. Hundreds of years go by. People learn to be the community of faith in different ways in different parts of the world. We have one main church that evolves. We call it the Western Church now because shortly after, about the third century, they got in an argument about beliefs and the folks from the Eastern side of the world split off and they became two. And so you had the Western Church, which we call Roman Catholicism today, and the Eastern Church, which we call Orthodox Church today, and that started back to about the third century. So that's how people decided to be church for a while. And then about 500 years ago, we have the Reformation, and that's when all the chaos came about. Because it was not one or two, now we got all kinds of denominations, and we got all kinds of different, 57 different kinds of Presbyterians, let alone all the different Baptists and all the different Methodists, and it could go on forever. And everybody has their idea of how they do church, and none of them are necessarily wrong. There are reasons that God wants to move in a certain way at a certain time. And every day is a new day. And I think part of being a follower of Jesus and part of following Jesus as a body of Christians is that excitement and the vision that something new can and will happen. In 1970, I had this slick burgundy-colored leisure suit. And I had a pair of earth shoes. And I don't know if you remember those, but they had little rolling crepe soles. And they were supposed to give you great support for your back. And I thought I looked good. I really did. I thought I looked good. 1970, I probably looked like most everybody else. But you know what else happened in 1970? This place right here kicked off its existence. The community of faith that calls itself St. Timothy became a church in 1970. And in the subsequent years, has done so much ministry. There has been an incredible history and legacy of service through this church. One of our main ministries is still around. It's 35 years old this year, and that's our preschool, where we serve 160 families, 161 kids now, I think, right now. But it's an amazing ministry of this church that has affected the community in ways that we can never imagine. As I've told many times, I stand here today partly because of St. Timothy's preschool that my youngest son went to 25 years ago. It's an amazing ministry for our community. But guess what? We don't do it exactly the way we did when we first started in 1983. We don't do worship exactly the way we did in 1970 when the church first started. Now, the carpet may be the same, but, you know. We can work on that. But things change. People change. Faces, some of the faces that are here today, were here in that first service. And in 1983, when the preschool started, we don't do things exactly the same as we did then. We do them differently. And that's what I think part of being in the Reformed tradition is, we are constantly reforming ourselves. And we're constantly looking at new ways that we can serve and follow Jesus. And so as a church, your session has been praying and working on a new ministry, a new focus of ministry for our church. And we want to present that in the next few weeks to you. But I'm going to give you a little bit of it right now, just so you have a kernel and we can all kind of get on the same page. We want to call it a ministry for a new day. It's not like we're going to drastically change what's working, but we want to enhance the capacity of what we're doing well and the ministries that this church has been doing well for a long time. And we call it a ministry for a new day. But partly what we need to do is we need to change some things about the building. The leisure suit is going to have to go. And one of those things is in our education building, we have a second floor. Don't get to use it now because we have to, by code, put an elevator in if we want to use it for our preschool and enhance the numbers. Also, guess what? Most of us in here are not spring chickens anymore, and going up and down stairs for us to use the classrooms is not optimum. So we need an elevator for our education building. We want a van because we have a lot of kids that need transporting from time to time in our preschool, Monday through Friday. But we also have, right down the street, several assisted living centers where seniors need to come to worship. And we've had people in our congregation picking up these folks. But we want to be able to bring them to the service. So we need an accessible van with wheelchair accessibility. We need a new security system. Unfortunately, in the world in which we live, when you have a campus this big, you've got lots of doors. And our ushers and folks are trying to do the best we can with what we have to keep us safe and secure. But we also have 160-plus little ones in the building Monday through Friday that we have to protect. So we need a security system. And we kind of need a facelift in here, too. We need some new, fresh experience in our worship, in our building itself. We want to enhance all of those things. None of those things are inexpensive. They're very expensive. So part of what we're going to do is we're going to be asking you to participate in a ministry for a new day. It's a campaign that starts with ministry, ends with ministry, and enhancing what we do. But it's also going to cost some money. And we definitely don't want to go into debt. So the church is going to work very diligently to raise money, spend money, over the next few years to accomplish what we think God is leading us to do. And we're going to invite you over the next couple of months to figure out how you as an individual can discern where God wants you in a ministry for a new day. We're going to walk through talking about how God can use us as individuals and how God can use us as a church. There are wonderful examples of ministry. We're going to start doing a ministry moment again where someone from the congregation comes up and explains and tells us about the ministries that they're participating in to remind us of all the things that we are doing and why we need to increase the capacity of what we're doing, because we're touching lives. For many people, that spiritual ruler I talked about earlier, especially among preachers, spiritual ruler is often how many people are in your church on Sunday morning. But our session, we've talked about over the last few months, that a better way for us as the congregation of St. Timothy to follow Jesus is to say, instead of how many people are here on Sunday morning, how many lives are we impacting Monday through Saturday? How many lives do we as individuals and we as a community of faith touch? There are 21 kids that we work with and sponsor at Central Junior High. Take those kids and every member of their family. In some way, we are trying to have an effect on their lives. And in some way, we are impacting them. The families we adopted for Christmas. All the other ministries that we're a part of. So, you have lots of questions about ministry for a new day, and we're going to try to answer those in the next few weeks. But I wanted to give everybody a chance to hear what the exciting possibilities the future is going to hold for St. Timothy. Because we are following Jesus, and every day is different, every day is new, and every day is exciting. So we want to follow Jesus in a new way. So, I believe that God is going to take us down this path, and it's going to be an adventure like none of us have ever had. But we want you to, over the next few weeks, to discern how you want to fit in and how you believe God wants to use you in this process. So, being the church, for a lot of us, is like water. It's like the fish in the water. It's around us all the time, and we have a hard time explaining it. But I think we need to take that extra time and look at it. Blessed be the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.